This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Many people across the country will be familiar with mold in their homes, but what are the dangers of mold to our health and how can we safely remove it? We'll be joined in a minute by Martin Glynn, founder of the DIY Academy. But first off, Dr. Moira Finn of Enocentric Health joins us. Moira, thanks indeed for talking to us. How potentially serious can mold be for your health?
Hi, Shane. Well, first of all, it's so common. It's probably great. I don't want to make people a little bit afraid about it, because mold is actually it's a natural phenomenon. It's normal in our environment, in soil and plants, and you know, in kind of wet, moist areas. But what happens sometimes in our homes, and we've all experienced it at some stage, if there's certain areas are probably more poorly ventilated than others, you know. Bathrooms and kitchens would be the worst, maybe. And when the droplets from the condensation hits cold air, it can then, or cold surfaces, it can turn into mold. And there's loads of different types of it. Some of them are probably a little bit more dangerous than others. And it depends on the person. The vast majority of people have no ill effects from mold whatsoever. However, if you are sensitive to it, if you have an allergy towards mold spores, then maybe you would have reactions like that. Some people can develop lung infections from it and more serious things, but it's quite rare.
So if you have a respiratory illness or you suffer from asthma, is it more problematic?
Yeah, and that would be the same for any kind of airborne issue. So these spores that the fungi produce are airborne, so they're inhaled. So if you have asthma, you have an underlying lung condition there, and your lungs are just far more reactive. And if they're exposed to those spores, it can trigger an asthma reaction or attack. It can, in people who are kind of allergic or sensitive to the spores, they can have really itchy eyes or a kind of rhinitis, runny nose, sneezing. The symptoms that you'd sort of associate with dust and with hay fever occasionally, but it's caused by the spores rather than something else.
And you're absolutely right to say to people, you don't want to be alarmist about this, because as you were making the point, for the vast majority of people, it won't have any kind of serious impact. There was a very high profile case in the UK, the 2-year-old AWOB Isaac, who died after exposure to mould in his home, and it prompted what has become AWOB's law, which will basically is a duty on landlords, both state and private, to keep their homes fit for human habitation. And stricter measures even have been introduced basically to ensure that mould and mould hazards are dealt with. But I suppose it's potentially very serious if you have a vulnerability in that area.
Absolutely. That was an incredibly tragic case. A 2-year-old child, I think you said. You know, and that child, there may well have been other vulnerabilities, or maybe not. You know, these things can happen. And I suppose it's incumbent on us all to actually look after our environment that we live in. Landlords, obviously, as well, when people are renting, and the state when it's state-provided households. But, you know, we all have to make sure that our homes are not too humid, that they need to be ventilated as well as possible. If you're having a shower and it's, you know, you're running a shower for too long and you don't open the window afterwards, there's going to be a development of condensation, which could lead to mould. So keeping the area dry and keeping it clean are really, really important. But if you have some underlying condition and you have symptoms that are recurring, and, you know, for instance, if you have a chest infection that is not responding to an antibiotic, because if it's a fungal infection, it needs antifungal treatment, not antibiotic treatment. Or if your symptoms are very frequent and you can't figure out what where they're coming from, it is something to be mindful of, okay, and maybe to talk to your GP about.
Moira, thanks indeed for that. Dr. Moira Finn there of Ennis Centric Health. Let's bring in Martin Glynn, founder of the DIY Academy. Martin, how can we deal with mould if it is in the home?
Yeah, so as you just touched on there, like, you know, it is very common this time of year. So just because you have mould in your house doesn't mean you're the only one in this issue. It's been very, very wet lately, and, you know, the weather has kind of added to the situation. So look, it's not the end of the world, but at the same time, it is concerning and it is annoying, especially if you have them underlying issues. But first things first, I suppose you need to be careful safety-wise. You need to get proper PPE, you know, get a dust mask on, a pair of gloves, because the mould itself, as we're saying, can get into the respiratory system. And plus, even the cleaners we need to use to get rid of them can be abrasive enough. So we just need to be a bit careful. Just because we're not on the building site doesn't mean we don't wear our safety gear, you know.
Good advice. Now, I'm just in my own home, for example, in our bedroom window, there's a bit of mould down the side. I'm presuming that means the window isn't properly fitted, does it? And what do I do about that? Do I wash it off? Do I paint over it?
Yeah, so that's where you see it build up quite a bit. Is like, there could be just a draft coming in there at your window, you know what I mean? So there's all these adjustments on your windows where you can actually tighten them all up, just because there's a bit of a gap there letting in that breeze. It doesn't have to be actually moisture or dampness, and like letting in that kind of air in there can cause it as well. So, but like, there's kind of four steps to it. So first of all, you need to kind of get a degreaser and kind of wipe it down first. Then we get a mold killer or a mold remover. You can get, I'm not sure what kind of name brands here, but there's a Mold X is a pretty good one out there. Mm-hmm. But ask the question, go ahead and ask the question which one they recommend. And you can give that a good good spray down, and then like let it set then for probably about 20 minutes. And then once that's done, then you can get, there's a Bin Aqua, there's a primer and a sealer to paint over, and it's a water-based and it kills odours and everything. And then the final step then would be a Perma-White. It's from Zinsser. It's a mould-resistant paint. And I know it says Perma-White, but you can actually get it in different colours as well, get it coloured. So that's the kind of sequence of events.
Okay. Dehumidifiers, are they worth investing in your home?
Yeah, very much so, especially if you're in an apartment and you're drying clothes inside.
Brilliant
and stuff
for
like
drying clothes, aren't they?
Yes, unbelievable. And you'd be surprised if you put one on there and turn it on, the amount of moisture that comes out of a room, especially when there's a few clothes.
I can't get over the amount of time you have to change the amount of water that comes out is extraordinary.
It's incredible, yeah. They're brilliant. It's brilliant for drying clothes, number one. And like, if you don't do that, it's just going to kind of go into the air, you know what I mean? So that is a good chance of creating. And they're not crazy expensive. You can rent them out, obviously, if it was an accidental leak or something like that. But you can actually get them in for fairly reasonable prices. If you have an apartment and you don't have that kind of proper ventilation for drying clothes, I'd definitely recommend one.
Okay, one last thing. Plants, do they work? Do they kind of suck in a lot of the moisture?
It's kind of a double-edged sword, because some plants are very good. I know peace lilies, I believe, as told in one of our groups, very good for killing the spores, but too much plants can do the opposite. So it's kind of if you go overboard a bit too much, there could be too much moisture in the air with the soil, with the plants, with the trays and stuff like that. So it's a balancing act on that one, but I believe peace lilies are very good for killing the mold spores.
Okay, sound advice. Martin Glynn, founder of the DIY Academy, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.